The clock ticking that you hear in the background is the clock ticking down to deadline day for the Homeland Security Department. Senator Mitch McConnell will try for the fourth time today to introduce the House's funding bill to fund the Homeland Security Department. David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. He writes the Hawkins Here blog. And David, Senator McConnell is going to give this another go. I'm not sure why. Do we know why? Is he just going to keep going and going and doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? We know what that's the definition of.
That is, yes, we do. I think that he is trying to drive home the point to his fellow Republicans that there is no movement in the Senate, and you can't. They got to take no for an answer here. Why he feels like he needs to do this a fourth time. I suppose he was thinking maybe miraculously over the weekend something would happen. It hasn't. As far as we know, this roll call is supposed to get started here in the next few minutes, actually. And as far as we understand, not a single vote, not a single mind has been changed one way or the other since the last of the three votes that they've had on this.
So what that does is it sets us up then for the next progression toward a shutdown of the Homeland Security Department. And I heard Senator Graham say over the weekend, Republican from South Carolina and possible presidential candidate, that of course he understands the Republicans would be blamed for this shutdown. I'm not sure that any fair observers looking at this would debate that, whether it's true or not. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not. What matters is what people think and what the point is of doing it in these circumstances. What happens after we find out today, which we expect to, that no minds are changed on this in the Senate, and that now four times that Senator McConnell's tried to bring this up, and it ain't going to happen?
Right. Now, let me just say, when I say no minds have been changed, no minds have been changed on this particular vote.
Right.
There is a crack forming in the Republican resolve, or the crack is widening among Republicans, particularly in the Senate, who want to get this fight over with. For example, and interesting to the people who often listen here, who are tuned in to when I say Ron Johnson, they may know why.
Yes,
Ron Johnson, the senator who is the new chairman of the committee in the Senate that oversees DHS, also one of the two most vulnerable senators to defeat next year. He's running for re-election in Wisconsin, which hasn't voted, you know, in a presidential year. Wisconsin hasn't voted Republican for president since, I think, 1984. So he's running. He's a deep red guy running in a deep blue state, and he has now decided to put his conservative bona fides aside and do the practical thing and say we should just get this fight behind us. So the crack is growing. Whether that'll lead anything to lead anything in the next how many hours have we got here on your countdown clock? 4 days.
Yeah.
I think it looks like probably not. What I think is interesting today is that more and more people on both sides of this debate are now talking about how if the Department of Homeland Security is technically shut down, something like 85% of the employees will still have to come to work because they all are working on things that are judged essential government services. And I've heard it being that statistic being raised by people who think, let's go ahead and have this fight and let the thing shut down to make our point because it really won't do much harm. And I've heard people say the exact opposite. Why are we having this silly fight when it really won't do much harm? So I don't know.
I'm struck by the effort that the administration is putting into getting the case out for why this would be a bad idea. And the bottom line that I haven't heard anybody talk about outside of the circle of folks that covers the federal government is, yeah, those 200,000 or so Homeland Security Department employees would still have to report. The TSA officers would still be at the airports. The CBP agents would still be on the border. The ICE agents would still be doing their jobs on the border and at the ports around the United States. But they wouldn't be getting paid. And I'm not sure that's really great for morale. And I'm not sure that's really a terrific message to send to people that might want to try to sneak something through.
Right. Not getting paid. And they would not, although there is a precedent now, which sort of adds, if this is probably not something I'm supposed to say as a dispassionate analyst, but it adds to the silliness of the whole thing, which is in the past, in the big shutdown of 13, even the Republicans agreed that everybody who got furloughed, I mean, everybody should get paid, whether they had to work because they were essential, whether they got furloughed, that all the executive and branch employees should get paid. They didn't say the same thing about legislative branch employees. That's a different story. So in the end, the precedent is that they're going to make these people whole. But you're right, it doesn't do much for morale. I think I also saw you know this better than I do, a survey of different departments that shows that morale at DHS is the lowest of all the big departments.
Yeah, worst.
The worst, right. That's what I meant to say. And so so why? You know, why are they having this fight? I don't know.
That's the big question. I'm struck by the tenor of some of the voices, though. You mentioned Senator Johnson, and one would think, given where he's coming from, that his opposition to the principle behind this, which is the president's executive order on immigration, would be what it has turned out to be. He's opposed to it. But I saw in Politico over the weekend that Susan Collins is even opposed to the provisions of the president's executive order. Now, she's certainly not opposed to she's certainly not in favor of closing the department over it.
Right.
But, when you've lost Susan Collins, you pretty much lost the entire Republican caucus. And
that's exactly right.
When you're a Democratic president, because she's certainly not a knee-jerk vote for anything that Republicans agree with.
That's right, and so her vote is important. What's obviously, since the last time you and I spoke a week ago, what's really roiled this debate is this court case in Texas. When the federal judge down in South Texas first ordered a halt to part of what the president wanted to do in terms of liberalizing and relaxing the deportation rules. The initial reaction for those who watch Congress is, okay, this has now bought the Republicans a way to essentially cave in on their plan to hold the DHS bill hostage on the immigration issue. But that conventional wisdom only lasted about a day, and then it became, no, we have to, this federal judge has stiffened our spine to say we've got to hammer this point home. So this is a complicated one. It's a little bit defying some of the past patterns of this, and it's definitely defying, the pattern that I have said, I got to be open in admitting that I never really thought we'd get this even this close. I thought Mitch McConnell would have, maybe he's got a magic way out. He said several times there won't be any more shutdowns. He, at this point, it appears as though he does not have an ace up his sleeve.
And Senator Cornyn, the majority whip,
the number two Senate Republican,
has said the same thing, and yet you're correct. It doesn't appear that there's a backup plan. It also doesn't appear there's a backup plan in the House. And if I recall, that's the same topic that we talked about in the shutdown way back when, a year and a half or so ago now?
Right.
That it didn't appear that the Republican leaders on either side of the Hill had a backup plan once they got themselves into the shutdown mess.
That's right. It doesn't seem to be. And without getting too deep in the parliamentary weeds, it's actually a little bit difficult for, as a matter of parliamentary procedure, for Mitch McConnell to stop debating this current bill. I mean, in other words, even if he's after this fourth vote that's going to start in a few minutes, goes against essentially what they're going to be voting on is, should we bring up the House bill? And the Senate's going to say, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to filibuster that one. There's really no easy parliamentary way for him to move on to something else. Even if he wanted to say, okay, well, let's try and vote on a clean bill, that, as a matter of parliamentary procedure, is tough for him to do.
He's not able to introduce spending legislation on his side of the Hill, right?
He is, actually. It's actually only tax legislation that has to start in the House. Spending legislation can start in the Senate, but essentially he's got to get permission from everybody to stop debating this and move on to something else.
I see.
So banging your head into the wall is sort of again and again and again on the same vote is kind of the way of doing business, unless 100 senators all agree, okay, we've had enough of that, let's move on to something different.
I guess the thing to remind him of is that he asked for that job. He wanted
for
it.
More than asked for it. He's been wanting it for 30 years.
Yeah.
Finally, he's the dog that finally caught the bus.
All right. So we've determined then that there's no end game necessarily that we know of at this point, at least.
Right.
And there is not even necessarily a plan B that we know of a couple of days before the deadline. So I mean, do we? I don't. I guess I don't even know at this point what to ask next. Because
let me volunteer that. So the deadline is midnight Thursday, correct?
Yes.
So that is still 1, 2, 3. That's still 72 hours away, and you know, 72 hours before the so-called fiscal cliff, just before New Year's Eve. 72 hours is a long time in Congress if all sides resolve that they need to cook up a plan B. So, having expressed all the pessimism I've already expressed, I will say that there is time. There is actually a decent amount of time to cook up an idea, draft it, and get it through if they want to.
The clock ticks, David.
I mean, I can hear it. It's making me nervous.
Thank you, as always, my friend.